Hello and welcome to Relatively Football International Break Edition. It's sunny in the UK, last days of summer. It's going to rain in a couple of days. Living my best life, just got in from doing some gardening. And Theo joins me now from his cupboard in New Orleans.
The cupboard is undefeated. Hello, Flo. How you doing? Yeah, good morning. My time, 10:30 a.m. Out west. I'm feeling pretty good. I had a shot of espresso from a real human being.
Oh, delightful.
I know. I was on my bike, biking back through the city like it was 2019. Wow. Very odd, very fulfilling experience being back out in the world.
Yeah, I did. I had similar vibes yesterday. You know, yesterday morning, I thought, you know what? The weather has been better than it was meant to be. I really need to make the most of this. Like, we're not going to have the sun. Once it hits October, I think it's going to be raining most days in London. So I was like, right, I need to get out. So I took my iPad with me, took a book with me, got a coffee from my favourite coffee place, and I sat in the park, just watched some dogs, sat in the sunshine, did my prep for a podcast, read my book, was there for about an hour and a half, and I felt absolutely amazing. And I'm going to do that a lot more often. Whenever there's sun now, I'm going to try and get out if I can and just make the most of it. You've got to, really.
You got to have a laugh.
Yeah,
I've got the new copy of Sally Rooney. Both siblings endorse it. Yeah, I was reading it over some espresso this morning. So yeah, when the football's not on, you know, you can still enjoy life. Turns out.
you can still enjoy reading in the sunshine when the football's not on.
Anyway, back to the football.
Anyway, you got to have a laugh. So I mean, tell you who did have a laugh. Bloody England.
Lionesses.
England, a really, really big laugh.
Roaring.
Over the last
the
couple
roaring
of days.
Lionesses can't
absolutely
stop scoring.
Roaring.
Yeah, welcome to the Serena Weigman era. If we don't average 9 goals a game, it's a disgrace.
Absolute disgrace. Yeah, I mean, I really wanted to do a pod for this international break because I feel, as well as feeling energised by the sun and Sally Rooney's new book, I feel energized by the new era of England women. I am really excited about this team again. It's been a very long time since I felt this way.
Couple years, maybe longer.
That's a long time in football, Theo. I know they didn't play a lot of those times.
Right, I was going to say it feels like it's been 4 matches in that time. But yeah,
the last few months, especially until now, have been a drag. Team GB really frustrated me, as I'm sure our listeners heard at the time. That early period under Hegariza when we played, Northern Ireland doesn't really count, but those games against France and Canada, I found them a real chore and very frustrating. So I feel, you know, it's only North Macedonia and Luxembourg, and it's very hard to gauge the potential of this team. But I think there's so many exciting green shoots that I'm can't wait to see blossom, and I'm just such a big Serena Weigman fan already. Oh my god, I'm such a fangirl. It's kind of embarrassing. She's just got this blend of kind of awkward, straight-laced European, but also quite funny and sweet, and she's got a really good sense of humour. She really knows what she's talking about as well. It's not just like she's trying to schmooze you like Neville did, and then there's not much football kind of smarts behind that. She's extremely intelligent when it comes to football. She knows what she's doing. She knows what her players want to do. And I think there is incredible potential and relationship already blossoming. And I'm sure everyone can tell by how I sound, I am hyped.
Flo is very excited. Flo, let's break it up a little bit to like Weigman off the pitch and then the players on the pitch. Because I totally agree with you. I think tactically, the ideas, the strategy, we've gone upper level. We've got someone who knows what they're doing. We've got someone who's intelligent. We've got someone who's won things. Got someone who's been in the game. Obviously, tick, tick, tick. Off the pitch as well. Charisma, conversation. There's some secret DMs going on between you, me, and Soph Lawson. We're all sharing some opinions. I profess I can't quite put my finger on Serena's vibe, but I really love it. She reminds me of like an old teacher from school or something. But kind of sticking to on the pitch flow, the revolution, so to speak, isn't, you know, we haven't seen too many new players getting a look. Ella Toon is probably the best example, and she was arguably kind of already in the picture, but we haven't seen too many, you know, out of the woods call-ups. Ellen White obviously still getting a lot of looks up front, scored a lot of goals this week, so that's great to see. I suppose Leah Williamson playing in midfield, that would be the kind of the Weigman revolution.
Mary Earps,
like.
Obviously, I mean, I'm not...
Roebuck has an injury, though, there, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily think that Earps had maybe deserved to start, but I'm open to it. I think behind Robock, number two is really up for grabs. I know what you mean. It's like she didn't massively transform things. I mean, Beth Mead coming back in, she'd been left out by Hegel Reza, and that's it seemed fair. Like Reza never really massively rated her, although Mead didn't have a great season last season. She started absolutely on fire this season.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is it about reinvigorating the same players, or is it about kind of totally uphauling this team, or overhauling?
I would say it's a hybrid. A hybrid, because I think she's kick-started it in a sense that she's brought players in that have been out of the fold for a while. Earps, Jess Carter getting the first call-ups in years. She brought Katie Zellum to the table. She didn't get any time at all.
Neither did Ebony Salmon, notably.
Yeah, true. But she got another look after missing out on initially getting capped during COVID. And Lucy Staniforth, who I'm not massively sure she deserved a call up, but she's back in the fold. So I think what she's done is say to players, if you know your England days aren't over, just because you haven't been picked for a year or two doesn't mean I'm not going to have a look at you, which I think is really important. Really important to have competition for places. So she's got that. I think then on the other side of it, she's trying to utilise people in different ways, the Leah Williamson factor. I feel like she might put Daly higher up the pitch at some point. We saw it for like 3 minutes yesterday, but like actually properly. And then it's actually, right, what are you doing with the players that are always going to start anyway? Because obviously England have played a certain way for a while, and we know probably what close to the best 11 most of the time is. But I think what would have been really interesting to see if Steph had stayed fit, Steph Horton probably would have started. But what I found so refreshing about this is we didn't have Steph Horton. We had a left-footed, left-sided centre-back playing. It was my dream. I just love Alex Greenwood. I'm sorry I ever talked shit on her ever. She's incredible. And I think that was, you know, in some ways a bold mood because you could have done what every other England manager would have done in that situation, which is probably play Bright and Williamson alongside each other.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't do that. And I think it really paid off. It really, really did pay off. I mean, Greenwood scored two goals on Tuesday night. She tried to get several goals on Friday night. And when you ask Serena Wiegman a question about what she wants to do with this team, she's very clear about it. I mean, after Friday night, they missed so many chances. I think they had 31 shots on target or something crazy like that out of 48 attempts in total. And she was saying, well, what we've been working on a lot is corners. You could tell that on the Tuesday night, corners. Then I think they scored from, I want to say maybe four or five corners. So, right, you can already tell there's a game plan here, and she's working on the right thing. She's trying to correct the mistakes. And then she talked about playing in transition and defending in transition. And then last night after the game, she said, I was really pleased with the way when we lost the ball, within a few seconds, we stopped their counterattacks. And she's just, she's just a lot smarter than I think a lot of, well, certainly Phil Neville, but a lot of England managers maybe in the past. And I think so hyped, and so I just hyped. I hope this doesn't end in tears. And obviously, I know we need to maybe need to take it down level because it's two games against very low opposition. But I'm really happy to be excited and behind this England team again.
Can I bring up an unpopular opinion? And I'm not actually necessarily saying this is my opinion.
Okay, here we go.
It's not really about Wiegman, but it's related to Wiegman. Obviously, playing Alex Greenwood as a left-sided centre-back.
Yeah.
I was really enjoying Alex Greenwood as a left-sided centre-back last year. It was probably one of the positive moves Gareth Taylor's done. Someone who's come under a lot of criticism.
And we, you know what? If someone wants to dig into the Relatively archives, we were both like, what is he doing?
And no, that's not true. You said, what is he doing? And I was like, I'm all about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But my point is, Wiegman's getting the best out of Greenwood there. It was virtuoso. I thought she was probably the best player on the pitch last night. And again, the nous, the idea, understanding how you want your team to play, having Williamson there, having good players on the ball, knowing you're going to see a lot of the ball. It's not rocket science, to borrow a Diaspora United pod-ism there. I guess what I'm trying to say is, do we owe Gareth Taylor an apology? He's a manager who's coming under a lot of criticism.
I owe Gareth Taylor nothing.
Okay, that was going to be my question. And obviously, Rose Lavelle went off last night for the US Women's National
Arguably, I mean, Jesse and I have had this conversation over the last few days.
I said it was going to be an unpopular opinion, but I was...
Arguably, you know, look at players like Hemp, who we were so hyped about and has actually regressed a little bit over the last couple of weeks, and the start of this season has been really difficult for her. She was good at the Olympics, maybe not as good as people would have liked to see her be. And I think maybe her progress has stagnated a little bit. Ellen White hasn't really started the season that well. And she's perhaps not being used in the right way under Gareth Taylor either. Rose Lavelle, which I know US listeners are still very burnt about, that international window goes by when I don't see a tweet about Gareth Taylor and Rose Lavelle.
Well, that's so why I was going to say, I'm not defending Gareth Taylor, but last night my timeline was just burning him to the ground for his handling of Rose Lavelle, which is totally fair. It's facts at this point. But it was interesting to me seeing Alex Greenwood have a virtuoso display in left centre back. And I was like, oh, well, Gareth Taylor did help that train along.
Okay, we'll give him that. But I feel
I'm not totally defending him, without digging into
the archives, not just the Red TV archives, I'm talking about the WSL archives, which is often impossible to do. Like, just trying to find out how many caps an England player has is impossible sometimes because the England website doesn't update that frequently. It's still got Hegeriza listed as the manager on the England website.
Great stuff.
Without sort of digging in, Gareth Taylor couldn't have been the first manager to do that.
That's fair. I'm only going off what I watched last season.
I know, Lawson, if you're listening... Firstly, if you're listening, hope you're well. secondly, can you find out? Because surely not. Surely she's slotted in there.
Could
in
be
the
an
past.
Abdullah kind of question as well, maybe in Lyon.
Yeah.
Obviously, she didn't play that much
Because not that I'm just refusing to give Gareth Taylor any credit, but like it would make sense, right? Like, obviously, it blew my tiny little brain because I'm like, Alex Greenwood can only play left back. And like, you already had Gemma Bonner, so why are you doing that? And we were free Gemma Bonner at that time. And we still are waiting for her freedom. But
I'm going to see her this weekend.
Wow.
In Louisville, yeah.
Sorry, it made it sound like you were hanging out, not just like...
No. I'll be on the other side of the touchline.
I am freeing her this weekend, yeah. Finally. Alex Greenwood, we stand. Next question.
Rachel Daly, I guess we got to talk about wearing the black armbands on Friday night, Saturday?
Friday night. I don't think they wore them last night, but Friday night, yeah.
They actually did wear black armbands last night, but it was for Jimmy Greaves. But yeah, black armbands on Friday night for Martin Daly. Obviously, it's been a really emotional week for her. And it was amazing to see that tribute on Friday night. Obviously, she starts and plays at right back. You were asking Serena about that in the press conference beforehand. And then we see her last night go up front at the end and get a goal. I think that was probably one of the highlights. I think, you know, Susie Rack wrote about it and tweeted about it. And I think we were all watching it and going through those emotions. And I think, you know, you want to talk about these intangibles or signs that the squad is in a good place. And I think the compassion, togetherness, emotion, support, joy from what's been going on with Rachel this week and seeing how she's turned it around and how, from Serena to all the players, seem to be really supporting her. I think that's what we want to see from our national team, right?
Yeah, and as much as we want to see Rachel Daly up front against opposition like that, I mean, she's just in her element, isn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, crossing
she can
ability.
Push so, she can push so far up the pitch. I mean, she was so good on Friday night, the way she was switching play as well. Even on her left foot, she was dinking some really, really nice balls in. So yeah, I just loved watching her play across the two games, and on Friday night I so wanted her to get a goal, and yeah. I was so gutted she didn't, and so to get that goal yesterday was just so perfect. And yeah, everyone got involved. Beth England looked really, really good. Nikita Paris is who's someone I've kind of not rated a lot for England recently, looked really, really good in both games. Really, really good. That right-hand side's kind of been reignited because during the World Cup, that right-hand side was so crucial for England, the link-up between Paris and Bronze. And then since then, it's kind of fizzled out, even when Bronze has been fit. But it seems like that's really come alive again. I thought Beth Mead, when she switched between right and left, looked really good as well, carrying on where she left off the WSL season so far. Ellen White being potent. I think Ellen White on Friday night struggled a little bit, but on Tuesday night she was kind of back to her best. She was just couldn't be handled by any of the Luxembourg defenders. And I mean, you would expect this in some ways, but I also feel like perhaps England teams in the past wouldn't have been as ruthless. And you know, we know that they've won big in World Cup qualifiers before, so it's not like it's not anything new. But it just feels like there was a real, like, really kind of, you know, we're up for it. There's fans back, especially on Friday, and, like, we want to put on a show.
Yeah, just on Nikita Paris quickly. I have some sources. I won't reveal my sources. But I actually know someone who works with her. And I think I'm allowed to say that I think the move to Lyon, from what I've heard, the worst thing about it was that she felt a bit disconnected from the England team. And I think that largely had to do with COVID, obviously, as well. She wasn't allowed to join with some of the camps. And I know that a big reason for her to come back to Arsenal was to boost her form, her integration into the England team. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see her pick up in her form, the way she plays, the patterns of play she can pick up with that England team. I think that is going to be a big part of her Arsenal move. And so, yeah, I think we're starting to see that. And I still think the best is yet to come from Nikita, and definitely one to watch, kind of who gets to play in that front three, who's the number nine. I don't think we quite know yet. And I think it's Nikita's to take.
Yeah, totally. I think what is really interesting one going forward is there is a bit of a conundrum now, and I had a bit of a back and forth about this with someone on Twitter, because I was saying I really like the way that Serena Wiegmann only made two changes on Tuesday night to the team that played on Friday night, because although it was these kind of games are a massive opportunity to like give everyone a run out and give an opportunity to score their first England goal, get their first cap, I really think in this really short amount of time we've got before the Euros, and there is so much pressure on these Euros, really you've got to work out who's the best blend of players, how are you going to get the best out of this team in this time. So I'm not massively bothered that Katie Zellum never came on, Lucy Sanaforth never came on, Jess Carter never came on.
Ebony it was Mary Salmon. Upson goal Ebony for Salmon both never games. Came
Ebony
on.
Salmon. All right, get it. Every time, no, I'm joking. But I think we've got to work out in this really short space of time who's the team that can win the Euros. And I think it's going to be really interesting if/when Steph Horton is fit again. Is she getting straight back into that team? Because that is a conundrum, because for me, she's not. Is Leah Williamson going to start ahead of Kira Walsh? Because this is a little back and forth I had with an Arsenal fan. And obviously, we know a lot of Arsenal fans are very fond of Jordan Nobbs. And if she was fit, they'd want to see her there. She's kind of fallen out of favour with England over the last sort of 9 months or so. But personally, I would probably have as very close to team that they had last night, really. But I'd probably put Bronze at right back.
Have
Demi Stokes at left back, and then I'd have Brighton and Greenwood, and probably have Williamson in the defensive midfield. So I'm kind of like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know?
I mean, I think you got to think about it as like a couple of different variations of the same team. So obviously you're going up against two weak sides, you can have a lot of the ball. I think Ebony Salmon is going to be the kind of player we want to see maybe when we don't have as much possession. We can counter-attack more. There's more space to play when a team is pushing up against us. So I get why Ebony Salmon didn't feature in these games. And I think you're right, whether it's Steph, whether it's Jess Carter, like these could be situational players. Obviously, Steph is the captain, so we'll probably see more of her. But for some of these other players, they're going to come in when the game suits. And, you know, the tournament next February with Germany and Spain, I think, is when maybe we'll see more of those variations.
Yeah, that tournament's going to be really, really interesting. I'm very excited for it. And it's going to be the first sign, really, in the first test of do England have a chance of winning the Euros, essentially, because it's so hard to judge anything on the last couple of games. We've talked quite a lot about England.
Yeah, that's a lot for us.
But I feel like we've covered a fair amount. And if anyone has any opinions, I'd love to hear anyone's opinions on that conundrum around Kira Walsh, Horton, Bronze, Roebuck. I think most people would agree should come back in, but all these players that are injured at the moment, are they coming back in for you? I mean, what would your England 11 be based on the last couple of games? Let us know at Relatively Football.
Wiegmann, give us your Wiegmann feedback. Who does she remind you of?
Who does Serena Wiegmann remind you of? Theo, USA had some games as well, didn't they? Why did I say that so weirdly?
USA
had some games. USA. Yeah, USA had some games.
The US soccer, Golazzo, Megaplex FC came in and had some game matches. It's funny because they're not dissimilar to England in a way. You know, riding up big scores against Paraguay, a doubleheader against Paraguay. This is sort of part of the US soccer contracted victory tour. That's basically what this is branded as, listener.
And Carly Lloyd's kind of
farewell tour. Yeah, she's going to have a game in Minnesota next month, which is actually sort of her official goodbye game. She obviously scored a hat-trick in the first one, and Alex Morgan got a hat-trick last night. Rose Lavelle was in her home city of Cincinnati, which was really cool to see. There was like a little TIFO banner for her and a lot of good fans. That's a brand new stadium in Cincinnati, so I think, you know, there's been a bit of criticism that these games weren't booked in more like the heartland of American women's football, but it was ironically booked in the heartland of the United States of America, so that's the Midwest.
What were the attendances like?
I think last night was very good. I don't know. They played in the Cleveland Browns NFL stadium on in the first match, which I think was weird because obviously it's not a football ground. And it's massive. So I don't know how that one went. But I think last night was great. It's a football-specific stadium. It's for FC Cincinnati in Major League Soccer. So I think that was great last night. I don't know about the first game, really, on the vibes. But I do know Steph Young, who's obviously a must-follow, great writer for The Athletic. They were talking about how there's been criticism of these games being in less kind of sexy or less consistent, less historic areas of the country for women's football, but in a way it actually gives people who don't get to see the US women's national team as much a chance to see them. That's really great.
Bit of exposure.
Yeah, maybe Southampton, St Mary's on Friday night for England was a bit like that too. I think we want to see the England team travel and the US women do a much better job of this, getting around the country, doing these victory tours.
And also, just side note, that England tournament in February is going to be up north, and I think around the kind of northeast, northwest, which is also really important because there's been a lot down south. So just a little side note there.
No, it's not dissimilar. Obviously, the US have spent a lifetime kind of building this out. There are a few stages ahead of England at this point. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really know how to read this. I think obviously we saw some cool stuff like Kat Macario coming in last night, and you know, Tiana Davidson, Abby Dalkamp are playing last night together at the back. I think a lot of people want to see a bit more Casey Kruger. You know, Vlatko, the Olympics was obviously a lot, in a lot of different ways, both tactically, emotionally, mentally. The player selection was odd, the way he set the team up, the way those players looked. There was a lot off, and it seems like they're getting their mojo back a little bit. Maybe he's playing the players who should have gone to Tokyo. Andy Sullivan was playing at the six. Everyone wants to see that. But at the end of the day, you can't read too much into two games against Paraguay. I think we're a long way away from knowing who the US women's national team are, A, right now, B, next year, and leading into the World Cup. They obviously don't have any qualifiers right now, so it's pretty hard to read in too much into these games. And I think with the CBA and the court case, things are going to get weird with the US women's national team off the pitch. And so beyond people racking up goals and Paraguay getting some vital experience as they grow their game, I don't really have much to report on this. That's it from me. I do want to give a shout out to Mexico national team playing a game against Colombia. We saw Colombia play the US women at the beginning of the year, and they're another nation kind of on the up for women's football. And Mexico too have looked really good and look like they're really growing the game. And Maria Sanchez, a really kind of notable Mexican player, came over to Houston and played a few games with the Dash, played in the NWSL in 2019, was at the 2015 World Cup, actually. She is a bit of a phenomenon, and she's got a fantastic free kick from Mexico last night. So that's the kind of thing I think we're watching as well, as these next nations ready to level up, ready, you know, in a few years to maybe challenge the US or start nicking a point off the US. And that was cool to see.
Which I think is a perfect segue to talk about what seems to be the topic of the week, which is World Cup qualification system in Europe. Top heavy, what's the solution? I would really recommend people check out Tom Garry, the lovely Tom Garry, absolute legend in the women's football space, and just the nicest man in women's football, and probably the world, to be honest, just an absolute legend. Anyway, he's written a really good column on Telegraph Women's Sport this week about, you know, what a solution could be to this issue of a massive gap in resources, a massive gap in finances, a massive gap in quality, because you've got teams like England, fully professional league, playing semi-pro/amateur players, and you've got that, you know, mirrored around the whole continent.
Around the world,
and it's what's
really
led to, and the world as well, but it's definitely been, I mean, you were just saying that you feel like some teams are getting closer, We haven't probably seen enough of that. I mean, probably the best result for one of the smaller nations was the Netherlands drawing against...
Yes, I was going to say that. The Czechs.
The Czechs, which was kind of a big shock. And it only took a late equaliser for them to even get that point. So, Magic of Viv.
Great Selly. I mean, Viv is kind of like, for anyone who is introverted or just kind of like takes life seriously, and life is serious, you know, life is hard. But I always get pleasure out of Viv kind of always having her eye on the job. And that equaliser against the Czech is an all-time lads, you know, let's get on with the game kind of celebration.
Yeah, and also if anyone hasn't watched the We Play Strong vlogs that Lisa Evans does, Viv obviously features a lot. They're so, so good and entertaining. So I think you can find them on her Instagram, on the We Play Strong Instagram. I absolutely love them. It's like the highlight of the week. They're kind of like 8 minutes long. And you can kind of just watch Lisa and Viv go around Camden Market. It's very entertaining. But anyway, that was probably the only one that kind of sprung up a sort of, oh, the gap might be closing scenario. We had a few 10-0s, that England game obviously included. We had a lot of big scorelines. The home nations, which obviously brilliant to see the home nations doing so well. We'll do a little bit of home nations chat.
Yeah, Wales.
Jess Fish logging 125th cap. Do you know this insane stat? And I'm sure lots of people have seen it on Twitter this morning.
She's played in
Wales. Have played 199 international matches, and Jess Fishlock's played 125 of them. That is mad. That is mad. But yeah, I think it's one of those conversations that won't go away. And Tom was saying that as far as he's aware, there aren't any conversations at FIFA HQ to talk about a two-tiered qualification system in which you'd have, you know, your higher tier nations playing qualifications, your lower tier nations playing separate qualifications, and then essentially the top of the lowers would play the bottom of the highers, and then they would kind of meet in the playoffs like that. And if that could be quite fun, because then you've got a knockout all or nothing opportunity in a playoff system. So check out Tom's piece to have a bit of a look on that. And I completely agree with him. I think something needs to be done because it is too one-sided at the moment. It's not really helping anyone. It's not helping the smaller nations push on, develop, and even, you know, like fight for desperate cash they need, because if you're the North Macedonian FA, you're probably looking at that saying, well, we're not going to support our side because they're just going to get pumped and they're never, ever going to qualify for a major tournament. What's the point? Whereas you've got to give these nations some kind of pathway to succeed. And I think that's what's really important.
Something to watch is Group A. Just kind of while we're still on World Cup qualifiers in Europe here, Group A is going to be really interesting. Obviously, Republic of Ireland are in that group. They didn't play. They had a friendly against Australia, which they won, actually.
And I didn't really understand why they haven't started qualifiers yet.
Well, here's the answer. There's only five teams in Group A. So there's six teams in a lot of the groups, including England. There's only five teams in Group A. So obviously, when there's a World Cup qualifying round, some teams are going to sit out. Republic of Ireland sat out this week. Finland, the brilliant Emma Koivisto's national team, they played only one match. They won that match. But yeah, Group A is going to be one to watch. Sweden obviously got two wins. Finland are in second place with one win. And then, you know, Ireland didn't play. Slovakia and Georgia make up the rest of the group. So keep an eye on Group A is kind of my tip for maybe a spicy group to watch. Flo?
Yeah, I also just really want to shout out Lucy Quinn, who got her first cap for Ireland and scored in that friendly win over Australia. It was 3-2 final score. She scored a really good free kick. It hit the post and then bounced off Mackenzie Arnold and went in. Really great person, Lucy Quinn. Really excited to see her back at Birmingham.
Yeah, she's been playing well.
She's moved over to Ireland. I mean, obviously, and with a name like Quinn, she's got Irish heritage. So, yeah, really excited to see what they can do in that group. And Ireland really should have qualified for the Euros. They had such a good chance at qualifying the Euros. They're in with Germany again, but they lost to Ukraine 1-0 in their final qualifier for the Euros, and they should have beaten them. So this is a really good chance. The signs are there with that result last night. I wish them loads of luck, and I'd love to see them at the World Cup.
Like I said, tough group. They got less games than everybody else. It's a five-team group, and they've got Sweden and Finland in there, so... Yeah, interesting one to watch. But huge result last night.
They haven't got Germany in their group. I said Germany again. They haven't got Germany.
Sweden.
As Theo said, they've got Sweden and Finland.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting with Ireland because... it's going to be interesting with Australia because they're obviously the host, so they don't get qualifying. So these games against Ireland are the games they're kind of warming up over the next 2 years for the tournament. And much like we saw in the build-up to the Olympics, they tend to do very bad in friendlies, but maybe if the Olympics is anything to go off, they might turn up for the tournament. Very, very hard team to work out the thread. They are missing a lot of players. Formation's not quite there. They want to play with wing backs and such. It didn't really come off last night. But yeah, I think we're gonna have 2 years of a lot of interesting long essays on Australia.
Yeah, I think I was saying to Jesse that result really. Ireland beating Australia 3-2 just gave me kind of PTSD on how annoyed I was about that Team GB result. Because no offence to Sam Kerr and my other Aussie WSL babes, Australia are not that good. Team GB should have beaten them, and it really annoyed me because I think last night just proved that.
It's in the past.
But I can't get over it. I hold grudges.
So that's a lot of international roundup. Before we get out of here, kind of quick midweek pod. Looking ahead to next weekend, Flo. WSL's back. Love to see it. What are you looking out for? Where are you going to be? And what are the games to watch? Obviously, we've got the early kickoff.
A really, really fun weekend.
Yeah.
Really, really fun weekend of women's football. Got the early kickoff, which is Everton Birmingham at 11:30 on Saturday.
Big test for the Toffees there. Time for some points, old Willie Kirk.
Yeah, I think they will win. They've also had a couple of players who haven't been on international duty, which is nice for him, works quite well. And Birmingham, I think, you know, we all know that they're going to struggle this season. And then I'm going to be, sadly, well, not sadly, because I love going to games, but of all the games this weekend, I'm probably going to be at maybe the most boring one, which is Tottenham Reading on the Sunday. TalkSport are doing live commentary of Man United Chelsea at 12:30 on Sunday, and then Arsenal Man City at 6:45 on Sunday. I'm going to be at Tottenham Reading doing updates for them. So, bit frustrating because it means hopefully I'll get home in time for that Arsenal game, but obviously I'm not at one of the big ones that weekend, but excited to be there nonetheless. And then we've got Brighton Aston Villa, which should be a really interesting one. And then, I mean, Brighton, just the only way is up, really. They had a nice little fixture list to start the season, and then West Ham Leicester City is that other game on Sunday at 3 p.m.
Prediction for we'll just ask for one there. Man City, Arsenal, obviously
the big
Man City got a lot of injuries.
I think Arsenal will definitely win that one. It's gonna be really interesting to see what Alex Greenwood injury was, because she went down last night, came off. It didn't look too bad. I mean, it's obviously some kind of muscle injury, but I think Arsenal will win that. I think it's going to be 3-1 to Arsenal. But what I would say, very intrigued to see how Man United get on against some top opposition for the first time this season, because been really impressed with them, especially that back four who everyone knows I'm obsessed with. So I'm really, really interested to see how they do coming up against, you know, big hitters. How about your prediction for Arsenal Man City?
2-0 Arsenal. I mean, going off...
Okay, clean sheet, interesting.
Yeah, I think going off the Spurs game, I know we talk about City missing chances, but I don't think they really made enough, considering, you know, what kind of the amount of ball Spurs are going to give you. So, I kind of back Arsenal to keep the clean sheet on this one. I think it's going to be kind of easy. I don't expect Arsenal to kind of go out there and smash City, but I think they're going to calmly deal with them.
Okay. Well, let's see what happens. I hope everyone can tune in to watch it. That game is on Sky. The Man United Chelsea game is on BBC. Both games are on TalkSport. If you would just rather watch them or listen to them on the radio, you don't have Sky or whatever.
Get your at to football. Get your at to football.
Get your at to football vibe if you're in the US. Yeah. Where I don't know the other anyone else any other websites that show it, but FA Player for a lot of places. So yeah, big weekend.
Tweet us if you have any questions. We'll always tell you where to watch.
Yeah, and we'll probably jump on a pod Sunday night, actually, post Arsenal Chelsea. I should get back home in time to watch all of that. And yeah, I reckon we'll probably jump on a post match pod. So
I'll be in Louisville, but I can.
Okay, well, maybe we won't.
No, but I was going to say I'll pod in from Louisville. I'll be with Ebony Salmon and Gemma Bonner. So
yeah, I was going to say, why don't you, Ebony, Gemma, and me all sit down on a pod and just have a bit of a hangout?
I'll try and get them on the pod. We'll see what we can do. Find out Sunday, right, listener.
Perfect. See ya.